What about, I know we've kind of tangentially touched upon, but I want to see if there's any additional issues around adjacent property owners. You know, I know those are the people that are going to be looking at this every day, and I don't want to try and elevate people who live on the west side of Miramar over anybody else in the city, but, you know, that's a set of stakeholders I think we have to particularly look at. So are there any other issues that we haven't touched upon yet that we need to think about?
I think the one that we just talked about is the parking down there. If we put parking on the side opposite the yacht club, then that's really going to aggravate that landowner because he's getting ready to build a brand new house.
Yeah.
So maybe the parking should just be looked at on the yacht club side of the street and maybe extending down into the park. You know, along the fence.
I don't think we want to go into the park. It's a park. That's it.
Well, I mean, we were talking about a thing earlier where it's a very small footprint and below grade. So
the
you
thing
don't
is,
see
we
it.
Already have that land, and even though the man has bought, I mean, he has property there, it's on his land. So
right.
It is public property. But when he was talking about that, I've never even heard that. I have no idea when he wrote that grant because I would have been on my, with my hand saying no, because that's what we're using it for. I mean, that's what the yacht club uses, and we're going to put a parking lot there for 5 cars.
What he was talking about was right along the fence, and not many people use right along the fence.
There's not much. There's a lot of crepe myrtles there.
A little string of them.
I just say, that's our park. We don't want to put, I mean, just like when you said, oh, we're going to put another parking lot over there. No.
Well, you know,
then we want all of that park.
If I, for using that property that's down there past the yacht club.
On the north side of the byway.
Yeah, I mean.
Because that gets some of the traffic away from the waterfront.
Yeah.
And it still is close enough that people could park there and walk down there and use the Shell Beach, but it's not letting all the cars.
Well, that's not city property, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Which property are you talking about?
On the street that goes
to Detective
and intersects with Miramar, the corner on the far the side away from the yacht club is 20 feet.
Oh, there.
Yeah.
I thought that's Baywood. That's not Baywood.
Yeah, I said Baywood.
Yeah,
on Baywood, there's 20 feet of that, of that first lot that belongs to the city. The first 20 feet from the street belongs to the city.
And the yacht club uses it to park their, put some boats and stuff in there too. And that's the same area.
No, that's down Shell Beach.
No, this is just adjacent to the yacht club.
This is adjacent to the yacht club
with the yacht club fence.
On the I guess
north side.
I think that property owner already knows that people are going to be used. They use Shell Beach and they park all over there anyway. So, if we do it in a nice way, and then
one of the metal trees and stuff were there. They had some oleanders that the homeowners had, and they had put some trees up. And as long as we weren't pulling off through his yard.
Right.
They, you know, they didn't really like it, but they knew that it was city property, and that's where the users of Shell Beach were going to park. Because, again, I would go, I'd put in my sailboat at the pier, and I'd leave my truck at the pier, but then the wife was bringing down the kids and the ice chest and the barbecue pit. Mm-hmm.
People do that all the time.
I was
going
to say, now they're going to be parking in this front yard. So,
if
we give them a place to park, then.
Yeah.
As long as they
can
get out of control.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of pressing the city to put in a small parking lot there to relieve it to, you know, enhance the use of Shell Beach.
So I guess, Larry, one thing you should take from this is of all the stakeholders that are on Miramar, that live on Miramar, their biggest issue is people parking in their front yard.
Yeah.
So we need to find an answer to that issue.
And they can't park on the park side.
Yeah.
That's not, we have an ordinance.
And we have ordinance against that, so.
For erosion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't, well, it happens in front of my house all the time because those people are fishing right there, and but they're building two new houses there now, so that's going to come to a screeching halt before too long. So who knows where they're going to end up.
They're going to end up in my life.
Yeah, yeah. Are Diane and Jerry's. Yeah. Well, it was fitting, Diane and Jerry's, but yeah.
Yeah, they'll go where there are empty lots.
Yeah, where there's empty lots. And
I can make my caddy
room
more.
We've
got an idea
what
the issue
is. Vacation rooms or homeowners. You know, a little parking lot where maybe two cars can fit in. It's not so bad.
16 vacation rooms.
And I agree with Charlotte. I don't want to take away from the little park that we have there. Because, you know, when they have picnics there, families, I've seen badminton nets up and things. We don't have that much area to play.
Yeah. So we need the sailboats in there.
And the sailboats.
You got a lot of boats in a lot of small space. Yeah.
There's 200 people down that little thing. The little kids are sailing. The school is being conducted to teach them how to sail their prams and their sunfish. There's a lot of people, like you said, they put up an awning, they put up, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it is used. It's used a lot in the summertime. And when the catamaran guys come out, they have cat races. They launch from that beach. Because it's very difficult to sail those cats out through the yacht area.
You tried that?
Yeah. Yes, I have. Didn't hit a boat. Got lucky.
I guess you put in your description.
Yeah,
so
I should have.
Full disclosure, Larry.
I've been a member of the yacht club for a number of years.
We're trying.
Two boys that are on the beach frequently.
We're trying to protect that. I'm not a member, but I don't care.
We want to protect it too.
Yeah, I've got to kind of, not let my. I'm trying to. This is not my personal.
You're trying to be objective.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't.
Even us as the wheel ran reinforced.
Oh, we're speaking for Nancy too. Because Nancy chairs committee because she's looking up at yacht club too.
Okay. Well, I think we certainly kind of get the picture on the parking issue. Right. I think there'll be some bit of this that you guys are going to have to tackle and give us some direction. You know, what do you want to do in terms of the property, the 20-foot strip on the north side there, et cetera. So we'll take it away and we'll work on it.
But yeah.
I think you guys have some homework on that issue as well. So.
It may come up down to filling some on north of the pier,
mm-hmm.
but the south side of the pier should be able to work pretty close with what we have. There may be some areas where they may give up 2 or 3 feet. I know there's one area where they're going to gain because the slope is so far out. If you put a 30-degree slope, you're going to be filling and restoring a small portion of that from that area.
Sure, we'll straighten out the alignment. I mean, I know when you stand down there now and look, everything kind of goes like this, and we'll, it may not be one straight shot for the whole length, but we're not going to have things meander every 5 feet.
No.
We'll straighten out.
Yeah.
I wonder how that's going to line up with the front of the parking at the pier then.
Well, we'll make sure and constrain that area such that we don't, take up any of the pier parking area.
Oh, good.
We'll treat that as a constraint to deal with.
Good. Because as we said, we're pretty short on parking right there right now on a busy weekend. So
we don't want to take away from what's there right now for sure.
We're good.
Did we give you what kind of storm surge we're looking at? I mean, did we come up with that number?
What kind of protection level?
Storm level?
No, that's something
you need.
That is something I'd like to get some direction on, as well as what we call it design life. So whenever we do something, we need to know, are we designing for 25 years duration or 50 years or 100 years, et cetera.
Because I want to throw two things out. One is we're still looking at this the Centennial Gate.
Yeah.
And the mouth of the channel, which makes us very nervous. Mm-hmm. Because we know water got to go somewhere, and if they go back on some acres. Because we're so low. And
from what I know of the project, and which is not a whole heck of a lot, but my first reaction is I don't think it would tend to increase surge in this part of the bay.
If the gate is
Centennial
River?
Yeah.
Not the Ike Dike, the Centennial Gate.
Right. Because, the way storm surge works, it's basically the wind is forcing the water, putting a slope on the water. It's putting stress on the water. And generally, if you block that somewhere, I guess you call it downstream, it doesn't really result in propagating, increasing the storm surge on the windward side of it, the seaward side of it, in general.
But wouldn't the water have to spread out? If you've got water being pushed from the Gulf up the ship channel and it hits a barrier, doesn't it have to go laterally?
I don't think so.
Where's it go?
Well, it's just blocked. It's like...
It doesn't come in.
Well, it... I'm trying to think of a good analogy. It's like if you were... I'll have to think of a good analogy. But, from my knowledge of storm surge, et cetera, I don't think it's going to have that substantial effect here or, areas outside of that gate.
And then I was also going to add, I do think there is something called climate change and sea level rise. Not to say it's sea level rise, but so I'm going to go with the higher number. I think we want to do something that's at least what Ike was, if not a little bit more, because we already had Ike. I know all hurricanes are not the same, but that's just my thoughts. And
Would Ike be a 25-year?
I think Ike was probably in the 50 to 100 years.
Haven't we had 300-year storms in the last 25 years?
Well, prior to that, Carla had about an 11-foot surge here in this area.
Yeah.
Which was not that much lower than Ike. So, I think Ike was probably more classified towards a 100-year storm, but the fact that you've had two of them in a period of 50 years probably means more like a 50-year storm, but it's somewhere in that ballpark.
So I'm just throwing my opinion. I want everybody else to do the same, but I kind of go with the higher numbers.
and we will discuss sea level rise some. Whatever your thoughts are on global warming or not, sea level rise is definitely
a fact.
Because, especially when we talk about sea level rise, it's affect both of us. Sea level coming up and the land going down. Well, we know for sure in this area we've had a lot of subsidence. So it's a definite effect.
Mike, what's your number?
I'm good, like 50 years.
Diana?
I'll go for the higher. Once you go through the storm and it destroys your house, you pretty well you'd like to try to avoid that again. And
so 50 or 100?
How much difference are the 50 and 100 years?
It's probably not going to be a huge difference, honestly. If we're not trying to raise levels to block surge or, block waves affecting properties on
right.
the other side of Miramar, it's going to be slightly larger rocks, but not substantial.
Well, I would go for the bigger rocks then, just because I know what the water did with that riprap.
Yep.
Chuck?
I'm not going to be here in 100 years, but it sounds like a good idea to me. we do have a future to protect.
Sure.
So if the main difference is simply a larger size limestone rock on the waterfront, I would say go for it.
Kendall?
Yeah, 100 years.
I'd give 50 or 100, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if the cost difference wasn't going to be that much different, I'd go for the 100.
We can look at both of them, so yeah, we have a comparison.
Yeah.
And the aesthetics on aesthetic.
Literally, no.
Then, yeah, I think whatever y'all you can get.
Well, you go to it, I'll lock it.
Yeah, we'll fund what we'll get better under the chance. Sorry, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
I've been like
pretty long here.
This has been important so far.
Yeah, yeah, this has been really good. I feel like we're working through a lot of topics. That,
You got involved with a bunch of people that don't mind speaking their minds.
That's good.
Yes, that's healthy.
Funding, I think we've already discussed to some level, but my understanding is, the city is probably going to put minimal capital funds into this.
Yes.
But there will be, with anything, there's going to be some maintenance. My presumption has been that probably the city wants to minimize the maintenance cost.
Yeah.
You'd rather be a capital cost than and lower maintenance costs.
Yeah. And that would tend to take you to a 100-year size rock.
Yeah. Exactly.
My aunt, just throwing out food for thought, was talking about Bay Colony and how she said it's really difficult to shore up their waterfront because it's all individual homeowners. They have waterfront, whereas we have water view.
Yeah.
And the waterfront, you have to depend on your next door neighbor to maintain their bulkhead, because once they don't, you've got
a channel underneath.
Right.
Yeah,
so
terribly.
It would be. I'm not saying that the city wants to put money into there because we don't really want to. But however, she said we have an advantage because we have one long piece that we can protect at one time.
Yeah.
So it might be worth looking for or thinking about how we could fund some of it if we don't get.
Well, except that we have two ends. The yacht club end is pretty protected, but the other end is not very protected at all. So that leaves that end of whatever equipment we put out there at risk.
Well, that lady was at the meeting and actually had one of the written statements about that if what we did to our shoreline was going to adversely affect her property, which is basically that white house that's up there.
Cheryl.
So, of course, that would need to be
That needs to be considered, or it would just go off and kind of end
into the seawall, right?
Well,
because she has a seawall up front there, but we don't just want it to stop the rock.
She has a bulkhead.
She has a bulkhead.
Can we connect it?
But connect, drop the revetment off and kind of help protect hers, help it walk, keep from washing around the back bar on the north.
Probably, and we'll have to look at the details of that, that structure, but probably what we would do is bring the revetment up to and overlap slightly with it. That's 5 feet or 10 feet, so you tie the two of them together. But we probably wouldn't be, if there's some erosion scour that's eating under that bulkhead, that's not something that we could probably address with this.
Right.
But we will make sure that we're not doing something that's going to exacerbate.
Yeah.
That was their question, was what we were going to propose, was it going to hurt anything right there, because it is directly connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think that kind of covers, we've already had a discussion about some of the various alternatives, and I didn't really want to focus on the alternatives tonight. I just wanted to get kind of the vocabulary. And I think you guys are... And J.O. had sent me an email last week telling me that you guys have kind of made a lot of substantial progress already, so we're a little further along than I thought we would be at this point.
Good.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear that it sounds like, the larger issues there's a lot of consensus on. I think it's some of the detail issues that are going to be the real focus for us, which is good. I'm certainly open if anybody questions or comments. Just in terms of communication, I would like to keep one central focus point, presumably being J.R.
He'll tell us what he thinks we need to know.
we voted him as chair just for that.
I know I was late, but I do have a complaint. You met with Mr. Stahl recently, and we knew nothing about that meeting. And I think this is, if you're going to meet with him, I would like to know, or you notify J.O.
Yeah, well, it was a kickoff meeting.
Still, we had a committee that we weren't even notified of that meeting.
That was prior to us, our first meeting.
Yeah.
No, we didn't know about it. That was the day of, was that the day of the first meeting?
I thought that was the beginning of this month.
I think that was your notice to proceed meeting?
Yeah, it was May 2nd or April 2nd.
Yeah.
And when was our first meeting?
It was after that.
Oh, not the meeting, but we were formed as a committee before that.
I guess we were, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. We already formed this group a long time ago. So.
The 2nd of April?
Yeah, but he wouldn't have known who to communicate with because he hadn't assigned anybody.
He wouldn't. He did.
Didn't have a chair, but yeah. Yeah, so going forward, we can do better.
Yeah. I don't have. I'll certainly keep you guys. I have asked that in terms of David be our point of contact in terms of giving us the final direction on on any financial matters, contractual matters, and B being the final authority that we're responding to. So, because for us, I don't mind having two points of contact as long as there's some hierarchy on those points of contact. Mm-hmm. And for us, the city manager is the...
He's the administrator.
The city administrator.
No, we're not in a position to do any contracting.
No, the contract's with the city, so he's the appropriate
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything like that would have to come through the city.
So I view, David's role being more on the contractual, financial, those types of issues. That's where right. You guys are providing us the technical direction and the consensus building.
Ask one last question.
Yeah.
Typically, you're saying that the city would be responsible for initial capital or, say, some kind of contribution funding?
Yeah.
What percentage are we looking at?
It varies. The different grants have differing amounts. Frequently, with grants, you can leverage money from one grant as a match for another grant. Sometimes there's restrictions on doing that. For example, some of the federal money you can't use to match up other federal money. But all that said. The more the city is willing to put in capital, the easier it will be to get a funding grant.
Okay, well, the city right now is a total reserves of $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think the city council would want to go $1 million to anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe 200 or 300,000, is that reasonable?
Yeah, I've seen projects where cities, municipalities, whatever, have done with very little out of their own funds. I think it just puts more constraints on what, it makes it more work to aggregate these various grants. And part of the problem is they have different funding cycles. So maybe you get a grant from, say, the General Land Office. But it has a 2-year window, and you've got a grant from another, CF or some other agency that has a different window, and sometimes matching those windows becomes very difficult.
So just for your information, the city's got about $1 million in reserve, a little bit higher, a little lower, but and that's it.
Okay.
Unless we can try to go with a bond issue or something, that takes time.
Sure.
Just off the top of your head, I'm not looking for any kind of a commitment, but what kind of money are we talking about for construction funds?
We're probably, I would say, in the maybe $3 to $5 million.
I figured $5 million would probably do it.
I think the numbers from the 2004 study are fairly dated. I know particularly the riprap costs are way higher now. Particularly after Katrina, they went way up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we all assumed they were dated numbers. We just didn't know how dated they were.
Right. Yeah.
What is that? We're in a funding cycle, right? So you know what the next, oh, you may not know, well, that was a question of David.
For the CAP, I'll be honest, CAP has been very confused. This is 2009 CAP.
Right.
And, yeah, it's very confusing. But I think most of the CAP money has been allocated. Now, Harris County gets a portion of that CAP money, and I'm not sure if they've allocated all of their portion or not. There's a lot of discussion now about some of the Gulf Restoration funding coming out of the BP oil spill funds. You know, a lot of people are starting to line up their projects for that now, so I think that's kind of the next big fund that
we'll
a lot of people are seeing.
Will we fit in that at all?
We'll have to look at it and see. You know, and we have not been tasked, and one of the things that we're not planning to do extensively is to try and identify the funding sources. We'll put together a little bit of a matrix, but you know, that's really going to be on the city or you guys to you know, pursue these different grant opportunities.
Cool. All right.
Did you say we're going to talk down?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I know it went a little long, but
Do we need to talk about the May 13th meeting while we've got everybody here?
Yes, yeah, that's a good point. So what we had originally envisioned was two separate meetings, one being a meeting with this this committee. What we had thought originally was that coming out of this first meeting, we probably wouldn't have a very clear picture as to what alternatives you guys were interested in. I think it seems like you've got a fairly clear picture of what you guys want. So what we had originally envisioned was a meeting of this group, and then we would have a recess for an hour or two for us to kind of finalize some of our presentation materials and then do a more of a public open workshop. I'm kind of up to you guys' input. You know, if you feel like we can do all that in one meeting, I don't have a good feel for how many people you think will actually show up for that meeting. I'm presuming it's probably going to be too crowded for this room, so we'll probably have to.
Yeah.
For the June meeting, I've got that done. Okay. But I didn't really know what was happening on the May 13th meeting. So, but I think the May, if all of us sit down and finalize, or not finalize, but narrow our wishes, wants, desires, and then we take about an hour and a half break, that's going to put it pretty late at night to have a general public meeting.
Yeah.
So we may have to think about having two meetings on two separate days so that we could have a good hour and a half discussion with these guys and not have to rush through something and then give them enough time to go back and, you know, tweak their presentation so that we have what we really want to show the public.
Because we still have to do the 14-day advance.
Yeah. Well, now
we can't just decide we want
to
have.
Now, the 14-day advance meeting, because we're an advisory group, is more of we need to give the city secretary 14 days notice to put it on his calendar and get all the contracts and all that stuff put together. We're not looking at an open meeting type issue. It's more of a please. It was written into the ordinance just as a please. If you give me 14 days, I can have all my stuff ready to go. Yada yada yada. We didn't have 14 days for the last one. We've made it 14 days, and he said, "Yeah, don't worry about it. I can work with 10 days. That's not a problem." So we're not constricted by that. But I do think we need to put it on the calendar because right now we're looking at mid-May, and there's going to be graduations, there's going to be vacations that are going to start, and we're going to have hard, and it's going to be hard enough. But I would like everybody. I already know Chuck is gone for the June meeting. He's out of town, so we're already missing one guy for the big meeting, and that I've already got booked at the Yacht Club. But so why not let me and Larry bounce around some ideas on dates for his people so that he's available and all of this stuff. And then I'll circulate emails with all you guys and we'll make sure we're all, we'll come up with a date.
Yeah, because I was saying, maybe we can do some of this by email. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can look at the designs and things like that and kind of
I'd rather have a face-to-face meeting. I think, you know, emails sometimes go
in
different directions. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So when do we want to have our next meeting between the group?
I would say it'd be that May 13th meeting. Yes, but don't write it down yet. Let Larry and I make
really
sure
you forget about it.
Don't yeah, yeah. No, I'm not going to let you forget about it this time. I will get with Larry, let's say, tomorrow. I'll give you a call tomorrow. I'll get a date. I'll also get a hold of Sandy at the Yacht Club and see what their schedule is available, because that June meeting we have on the calendars had to be moved because they're all booked in camps or something like that. But we do have a date, just not the Tuesday that we wanted, but it's okay. I think it's Wednesday or Thursday, but anyway.
What, at the Yacht Club?
Mm-hmm. But it's that same week, so we're not going to mess with your schedule, per se. Yeah. But we'll be all good.
My work email is still down, so I've sent it to my personal.
I sent everybody on the committee the note that your email's changed to your ACT. Now, you're going to have to check it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it.
Because I blew it up Sunday last night for you.
I was actually checking it at work, but since my work computer is down, it's not
easy. Okay.
Okay. Well,
there you go.
Thank you guys all. And
with that, I guess we'll adjourn at 8:34.